Hallelujah. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart, in the assembly of the upright, in the congregation. Well, that certainly sounds good. I'm willing to sign up for that. Aren't you? Well, you're all here this morning, so it seems like you are. And it's more than just us. We probably know other family and friends, certainly other Episcopalians, and other Christians, both ecumenically welcoming and, you know, the people we struggle with ecumenically, who think this is a good idea. And it's been a good idea for a long time. The trick with the Psalms has always been that we don't know when they were written. There isn't a lot of historical context or dating to dig into with a Psalm. They're sort of drifting in history. But they've been a part of our scriptural tradition for well over 2,000 years. We stand in a long line of people who think giving thanks to God in an assembly of people is a good idea. In fact, if you were listening, you know, to the first part of today's gospel before we got a little uncomfortable with the demons, Jesus goes into the synagogue and teaches. And that's usually where we get uncomfortable, you know, even before the demons, when we go into the synagogue, when we sit down in the pews with the other people who work pretty well in theory, but once you're sitting next to them, once you actually have to talk to them and work out problems with them, well, that becomes a whole different issue. We don't always agree. We don't always get along. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes we discover, as the church has been accused of more than once in its history, that the church is actually full of hypocrites, including the priests. One of my favorite responses to that is, and we always have room for one more hypocrite. I love a nicely informed quip. It's more than a little true. We always have room for one more hypocrite. Come join us. And this is where we get into trouble. Our psalm today talks about giving thanks to God in the assembly of the upright. And all too often, that's not what we are. We're more the assembly of hypocrites, of people who keep failing, right? That's how it usually works out. So what are we to do with that? Because the psalm goes on to talk about a world where that doesn't really enter into it. But the purpose of this psalm isn't so much to talk about us. It's to give us words when we're all together. It's to talk about God. God, who, as I need the reminder from time to time, isn't like us. We struggle. God doesn't struggle. God succeeds at being perfect in a way that we just never will. That whole Jesus experiment God tried out a few thousand years ago wasn't to level the playing field. It was to help us get a little closer to God. And it worked. That's what we believe as Christians. It worked. It helped us understand God. It helped us better see that we could live a life closer to what God was calling us to live. But we're still a church full of hypocrites. We're still a church full of people who keep failing. Right? The problem, I think, at some point in time is one of language. Some of you know that I'm a huge West Wing fan, even though the show has been off the air for way too long now. I have it on DVD and I still watch it. And in the fourth season, President Bartlet is up for re-election. And it's a contested election because uncontested elections don't make for good TV. And of course, because you need good TV, it's all coming down to the one debate. And in the debate, it's all coming down really to one question. So you have this whole buildup. And the question gets asked. It's a TV show, you have scriptwriters. Don't you ever want scriptwriters in your life? I sometimes do. They would make life so much easier some days. And the opponent has the answer. The answer the president and his staff have been looking for days, if not weeks. It's short, 10 words long. Short enough to be memorable, short enough for, you know, the headlines and the first leads and paragraphs for the TV commentators to get it right. It sounds smart, but for all of its good qualities, it may not be the right answer. There's a difference between being simple and elegant and being simplistic and wrong. And President Bartlet's point is that this answer might be simplistic instead of simple. So he looks at his opponent and says, "Those are the words I want. But there usually isn't a day with an absolute right and an absolute wrong. Most days aren't like that. And the days with absolute rights and absolute wrongs usually involve a body count." It's, you know, network television, a TV show about being president. And it's the exact right thing to say, and he goes on to win the election. But I like the point. Absolute rights and absolute wrongs maybe aren't what we should be talking about. Life is more complicated than that. Maybe the point isn't so much that we are hypocrites, although there's certainly truth to that. We fail an awfully large amount of the time. Maybe the point is more that life is more complicated. That, well, absolute wrong and absolute right might exist. Well, I trust that when we do come across it, we could figure it out. Most of our life is spent in the middle, where everything is more of a murky gray color. And trying to figure out what to do takes more work and is harder to discern than black and white, where what we rely on is not that easy. But as Thomas Merton, a 20th century American Trappist monk, would say, "I don't always know if what I am doing pleases you, Lord God, but I trust that the desire to please you does in fact please you. And I hope that I have that desire in everything I do. I trust that the desire to please you does in fact please you. I think that kind of congregation is who the psalmist wrote this psalm for. That his statement about praising God in the assembly of the upright wasn't a statement of fact so much as it was a statement of hope. and hope does not disappoint us. Amen.
Amen.